You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO. It's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
Welcome, welcome to the Get Your Business Right show on Bashani Radio. You know what the Get Your Business Right show is all about. We're about helping people get into the right environment, meet the right people, and make the right power moves. You know who I am. I'm Michael Muse, the Fearless Coach. Because overcoming your fears is not an option. I'm the author of From Pain to Power. And the altar of rise and burn. And overcoming your fears is not an option. We are excited, and I'm excited, because when you can do things in life and have an impact, not just on your life, we already know to do certain things and have an impact in your own life is one thing. But when you can have an impact on other people's lives, that's powerful. And you already know, I search the internet through and through, looking for people who are life changers, looking for people who are world changers, looking for people who want to make a difference, looking for people who are doing the things to leave a legacy. I look for those type of people. And those are the type of people I like to talk to share their life, share their experience, because to live an abundant life, to live a life that's worth living, we have to do the things that's going to help us grow and plant all the right seeds. With this particular author right here, is a story that is powerful, it's inspirational, and it shows the power of what a person can do who has faith in their life. It shows the power of what a person can do who keeps God first in their life. I'm excited to introduce to you the name of this book. The name of this book is called Release. And in life, we all need things to release, to grow, to flourish, to go to the next level. So I want to introduce you to the one and only Arthur Roslin.
Hi, Michael Muse. I'm so thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share my story. Without saying, I'm very, very thankful to God for my life, my family, and my experiences.
Well, you know what, Arthur Roslin? We see in life the one thing that keeps people going. I'm a true advocate of inspiration. Even as a young boy, the one thing that caught my attention was the Rocky movie. Just seeing how a man can get beat and feel like there's no hope. But when that song came on and that will to keep on going, and that look that Apollo Creed had on his face when he saw Rocky get up, he realized the fight was not over. And so in your book, as we dwell deep into it, I want you to really share how you were able to conquer and mentally, physically, and spiritually move past all of those things also. But I want you to start off with your childhood. If you can share about your childhood.
Yes, Mr. Muse, my childhood was amazing. I grew up with all my four parents around, my mother, my grandfather, my mother, my father, my grandparents, and we were very privileged. When I say privilege, we always had our own room, nice clothing. We traveled as a family, Cedar Point, family reunions. All we knew was family bonding. So yes, my childhood was good up until the point I lost my mother.
And can you share with us exactly what led up to it and what was your initial reaction?
Well, I'll take you back to that day. My mother got up, her normal self. She's very loving, kissing her kids, telling her how thankful, praying with us in the morning. But that morning, I could tell that my mother wasn't at her best. Something was going on with her. And she told me, she said, well, when I walk you out of school, if I'm not there, when you just walk on to the house, we were used to our mother meeting us at the corner because the school was right down the street. And when I came home, of course, my mother wasn't on the corner like I'm used to seeing her. I made it to the house and my mother was laying downstairs. My mother, my grandmother, lived upstairs in a family. We lived upstairs in a family flat because my mother and father was going through a separation at this time. So when I got home, my mom was laying downstairs with her mother. And I can just look at my mother and tell that her body was flushed.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the blood was just drained out of her. And I'm looking at her and she said, well, go upstairs and get your siblings together. You know, get them dressed for bed and come back down. I want to talk to you. So me and my oldest sister, we went up and did what our mother required. I got the kids ready, put their pajamas on, and I came back down. And I realized that my mother wasn't getting any better. And she told me to come lay in the bed with her. As I began to hold my mother and kiss on her, she told me, she said, Rosalind, whatever happens, don't never let anybody part you from your sisters and brothers. Don't let them separate y'all. Y'all all stick together. And I'm like, Mom, I'm only 9 years old. I really don't understand what you're talking about. And she said, Rosalind, I need you to really pay attention. In fact, I need you to make a promise. So I said, Mom, I promise I'll never let nothing separate me from my siblings. And she told me, she said, go up after that conversation. She told me to go upstairs. I went upstairs, took the kids. We all went lay down. We was woke up 3 o'clock in the morning by the sirens from the ambulance. And when I heard the sirens, I knew then something was going on downstairs. So we got stairs that you can see downstairs pretty good. So I came down on the stairs as I watched the ambulance load my mother into the car. And as they got to the corner, you could hear the sirens go off. So I always knew once the sirens went off that, you know, that person died. And I waited. I laid upstairs holding my sister, me and her. I woke her up to tell her that they took Mom to the hospital. A couple hours later, my Aunt Joanne, she came upstairs and brought us downstairs to tell us the worst news in the world. She had to tell us that my mother had died. And I can remember coming down the stairs with a lot of cars. Everybody was over at the house. And all I can remember is looking over at my siblings, knowing that they was feeling the same pain that I was feeling, especially my older sister. So at that time, I knew I had to go over and comfort her. And I put my arms around her and I told her, nothing will separate me and you. Me and you will always be together. Worst day of my life.
Man, that's truly a situation that no one wants to deal with. and having to deal with it at such a young age. Like you explained before, your childhood up until that point had been amazing, doing all the things that a child your age would do, and the places you would go, and being around family, and doing all those great family things. And so let's talk about how your life turned out. What happened to your life once your mom made her transition? What happened with your life? How did your living and lifestyle change afterwards?
Very poorly. We became, we were living in DRA with my grandmother after my mother died. My father had, after the funeral and everything, he had to get his mind together, and he came back and he took us to live with him. And we stayed with him for a little while. We was tossed back and forth from my father to my grandmother. And my grandmother was a single woman with 11 children of her own. And she was very, very poor. I thank God that her love kept all 16 of us together. And what she taught me and instilled in me, I just knew it was meant to be. It was meant for my grandmother to raise me and show me how to love and show me how to cook, clean, and be the responsible woman that I am. So through all of it, the back and forth from my dad getting himself together, because when my mother died, my father had just recently lost his own mother. And he was on drugs. So he wasn't, in his mind, he wanted us to come live with him, but his physical body was addicted to drugs. So we had to live that in and out. No help, no support. My grandmother received no help, no support. And that's where I knew at the age of 9 that I can't keep crying. I need to get out and try to be some form of support to my grandmother.
Yeah, I totally understand that. You definitely had a charge in your heart to make sure your siblings were taken care of, and knowing that, knowing you weren't in a position to do a put a roof over your head, but you took it upon yourself to at least make sure your siblings had the extra little things. Because from what I can remember, like you mentioned in your book, your siblings never knew they were poor, did they?
No, I always tried to keep that away from my younger siblings. I always tried to talk to them, encourage them, and let them know that this is not where you come from. You know, Mom and Dad, we had a house built from the ground up, that you had successful parents. We, this is just a temporary. So when they really didn't know that they was as poor as they really was, I would go over to the Salvation Army and help the lady empty the boxes out so I can get first pick. She was an older lady. And I was only 9 and 10, but we lived across the alley from her. So she loved me enough and trusted me enough to let me come over there and help her put up, to put the shelves up, the clothes that was donated through the Goodwill. So that allowed me to get first pick. So I knew to take the clothes, wash them, and, make sure my brothers and my two brothers and little sister was together. And my sister Nadine, my older sister, we knew that all we had was each other. So she became the protector and I became the provider. Yeah,
that's amazing that you and your sister actually took your different roles and making sure
the siblings up under you were taken care of. Because like I said, I think you said your youngest brother was 2 years old at the time. So, of course, he was too young to even know what was going on and taking place.
Yes. My brother John was about two or three. My brother Anthony, they 10 months apart. So it was very devastating for them. My sister Michelle, which was 4 years younger than me, she would often ask me, "Where's that lady?" Yep, so I had to let her know that she'll see her again. So yes, pretty much my life was dedicated to helping my grandmother, helping my siblings. And we had to go through it all. I would always get jobs in the wintertime, helping out the senior citizens on the block. They took a liking to me. So that the older women would always call me over, "Can I just brush your hair? Let me tell you about life." And I look back on them days and know that that was nothing but God sending me these beautiful older women who loved me and wanted the best for me. They taught me how to sew, cook, clean. And when I opened up my service where we cut the grass and we'll come and clean your snow off, I always had like 3 or 4 guys in the neighborhood, including my uncle. They always they believed in me, and they know if I knock on the door, they're gonna look at the lady with the pigtails and say, "Oh, come on, you can do the snow," when they allow me to stay inside and have hot chocolate, and they'll be out there working.
So you being a kid, the kid charm, to get in the door and get to work. You inside slurping on marshmallows and hot chocolate while they out there throwing snow and throwing rock salt down.
Yes. Awesome time of my life. And I knew then that God was already preparing me to go into management. They loved me. They loved me and trust me enough that whatever money we got, I was going to pay them. So we in the summer, we didn't stop. We cut grass. We did trees. When people love you, they welcome you. And I just thank God for all the love I received from strangers. People that didn't know me, but they trusted me enough to see something good in me to help me out when I was in my desperate need.
That's absolutely amazing right there. You truly mentioned something that I try to instill in my coaching and mentoring with people, is that a lot of times the resource to issue or problem that we may be going through is right in our face. We have our elders right there where we're not asking the questions. We're not asking about the experience. But too often I see too many young people who judge their elders based on how well they did financially. And that's one part of life. But the real part is, what type of impact are you having? I remember a story in the land one time, and the gentleman, it came across the whole land, that whole kingdom, that the richest man is going to die tonight. And so upon hearing that, the king himself started preparing his last meal and spending time with his kids, wife, and everything. And he figured, you know, it's a wrap for him. And the time came at 12 o'clock. The new day had started. And he was looking at himself like, "I'm still alive." But I was already told that the richest man was going to die today. How am I still here? He found out an hour later, one of his most faithful servants had passed away. And he asked himself, how could he pass away? I'm the richest man. But what he failed to realize, that man was rich in everything else that money couldn't buy. And that he was actually, the king himself was actually spiritually poor, morally poor, psychologically poor. He had put himself on such a high pedestal that he thought that he was actually better than what he was. And so I'm so glad you took that charge to make sure you was keeping your elders encouraged and you would listen to them, learn from them. And that is so crucial. But I want to take a quick break real quick. And we're back on the Get Your Business Right show with Michael Muse. And you know we're here with the amazing, phenomenal author Roslyn with the book release. So Roslyn, you have shared some phenomenal things on from your mom and being a pillar of support for your siblings. Let's kind of jump into you becoming a mother.
Wow. Scary, loving, caring. Me becoming a mom. Well, Mr. Mules, I got pregnant the first time I was touched. I ended up having an abortion. I was too young, didn't know which direction to go in. And I decided to have an abortion, and I had two. So when I really got to the point in my life when I understood how my mother really died, I found out before I had my first child. And when I found that out, it really scared me. So I said, God, it's just meant for me to go ahead on and have a child with my fear and everything. So I decided to keep her. And it's the best decision I ever made. Her growing in me, my body changing. Man, I can go on and on. Me listening to jazz, me rubbing her, me teaching her. In my womb, she knew about God. I started teaching her because I had a fear. I had a fear that if something happened to me, Mr. Mule, my daughter would be treated like I have. Being without your mother is the worst thing could ever happen to your life. So people who don't love and adore their mother, I don't understand. My life took a drastic change without my mother's love. So, yes, I feel that as a parent, that if I die having her and she live, you know, all those scenarios that you go through, because you experience being without a mother's love.
That's right. It's amazing how you're able to see at a young age and make that decision and make that move there. And so I am for you to see how for yourself to make that decision and just to go through that painful time of having your child and just realizing what you had been through up that point in time and dealing with that fear. And so I want to jump into a point in the book that is very riveting, and that's the point in time where you dealt with your health crisis. I wanted you to kind of go into that.
Oh, you want to talk about my breast cancer experience, right? Well, Mr. Muse, I went in for a regular mammogram checkup. And when I went in for the exam, everything seemed to be okay. I got a call that evening. Miss Butler, we need you to come back in. We see something on your screening. We just want to come take another, a couple more pictures and another mammogram. I said, okay, which never ever happened to me. So I get down there, they take it, they do a biopsy, and she tell me, Ms. Butler, we would like for you to gather all your family together. So at this point, I know it's something really, really serious. And she says, it's just easier to have your family around, your immediate, blah, blah, blah. So we get in, I invite my family down. We all sit in the room, and the doctor begins to explain the cancer that I have is moving aggressively. And if I don't step into action right away, that I stand a chance of losing my life. So I looked around the room, because at some point, you cut the doctors off. Your faith level kicks up. It don't matter what the doctors say. I'm going to make it through this. So I looked around the room to see really the expression on my family's face. My brother, who always knew what to say, how to say it to make you feel better, he was looking down. So I just said, you know what? Regardless of what, I have cancer. Cancer doesn't have me. Come on, God. I jumped right on the boat, went to the action plan. When my family members in that room was telling me, oh, chemo, don't do that. That's poison, radiation, all these things. You're not going to live. You're not going to make it. And I realized right then and there, it's not about family. It ain't about friends. It ain't about doctors. It's about your connection with God. So, Mr. Muse, I really just opened up my faith.
You know, that's usually the first point of greatness. Just having the faith to believe that no matter unsurmountable obstacles come your way, that you're able to stand. And that even though we have people around us, family or not, sometimes we have to get to a place where it may look, our decisions may not look what other people may want to look like or do or be, but make a decision that you can hold on to, that you can realize that you could conquer. You're going to win. You have to adopt a winner's mentality. And so as you adopted that winner's mentality, what were some of the mental processes you were going through at that time to really put yourself in the mental state and a spiritual state?
Oh, Mr. Mills, I wasn't wavering in my faith. I knew without faith, I can't please God. Yes, I was scared. I was terrified a little bit. But all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. So I kept holding on to that. And as every procedure I started to go through, anybody that ever went through cancer, they know that they got to go through your lymph nodes. Mr. Muse, when they went through my lymph nodes and came back, it didn't spread to one. I want you to know, in science, that's not heard of. You can't have cancer moving aggressively through your body and don't spread to one lymph node. So I knew then God's favor was upon me. Everything after that, was a breeze. My mental got together, because when God don't allow it to spread through your body, you start feeling cocky again. You know, you start feeling sure of yourself. Come on, God, this battle ain't mine. It's me and yours. So, yes, my mental was all relied on my faith. And my children, I knew that I had to make it for them. I had to strive for April and Raquel. I had to hold on for them. They ain't had nobody else but me.
That is absolutely amazing. You have so much wisdom. Your story, your book has so much more to it than what me and you're talking about. But we're getting close to the end of this interview. What are two or three of the things that you want people to get most from reading your book release?
That all things are possible through God. It doesn't matter what you go through. You got to learn to forgive so you can be forgiven. Everything happened in your life for a reason. And God is a God that loves to be honored.
That's absolutely amazing. I'm here. There's talks going on doing a screenplay for your movie and take the book and turn it into a movie. And I mean, that is absolutely phenomenal. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you have to get this book. This book will touch your life, will touch your heart. It doesn't matter where you come from, what color you are, what you believe in. When you need to see a victory story in real life taking place, when you need to see an actual miracle taking place, when you need to see an actual life being changed and lives being touched, being changed, this is the book for you. How can people get in contact with you?
I'm Rosalind Butler, Renee's Breakthrough. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. The book is also available at Barnes & Noble, Apple Store. Yes, and you can contact me, 313-740-9023. The author, Rosalind Butler, would love to meet you and share my amazing stories. Without God, you can't please. You can't be pleased. You can't make it through anything. So I just would like for you to know, regardless of what you're going through, just don't let go of God's hands. He won't let go of you.
That is absolutely amazing. I'm looking forward to having you on for part two. Got to bring you back for part two because your story is amazing. Your story is heart-wrenching. Your story is emotionally gripping. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the one book that brought me to tears. And so I just want to let you know that Rosalind, author Rosalind, is someone who is, with her story and her life, helping people, helping whatever situation she's in, and now she's making the right power moves. So I'm excited, and you know you got to come back to the Get Your Business Right show, because you know what? I love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And see you next time.
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.